You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Jane Roach. She's been on the program before. Her recent book, Joy Beyond Agony, was an offer here at Songtime, and I hope that her new book will be a blessing to you as well. As we talk about the story of Esther, her book is called God's Mysterious Ways, Embracing God's Providence in Esther. Jane, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Thank you. It's a privilege for me to be there.
Well, this is something that you have done a series of lessons on through books of the Bible, and this is a continuation of these series. So can you tell us a little bit about all of these different things that you're working on that are coming out together as a means of teaching the Word of God?
Well, actually, I have two that have been published. One that I did last year, Joy Beyond Agony, Embracing the Cross of Christ. This one on God's Mysterious Ways has come out this year, and I have several others that I have worked on that are not yet published, but I'll be talking to PNR about what they would like to see next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what is the focus of this study? What's the focus of the Bible study emphasis?
Well, actually, it is the emphasis on the Bible study, because in each of these books, I have questions that the student can examine the scripture to find the answers. There's a way to use them in a small group to have discussion of their answers after they have prepared them at home. And then there is also a commentary that I have written on the passage that is being studied. Mm-hmm. I've also included for each lesson a hymn, the text of a hymn that teaches the very same thing, the same truth that the lesson has from the scripture, because I find for myself those hymns are very motivational for prayer, for worship, for just thinking about the truth from somebody else's viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And so the lessons are designed for individuals or for groups, and the way the book is laid out, if someone wants to teach a small group or even a larger group using this book, it's already outlined for them how they can do it.
Yeah.
So it's really designed for individuals, groups, and also for the leaders of a group.
Yeah, I like how you have the music involved there as the hymn, because that's fits been perfectly with our ministry here at Songtime. We always have music along with our teaching, and combining those two in a Bible study is a very, really great idea. And you also, I like how you lead with the discussion questions. You lead with the reading of this passage itself, the working through it, and then you go into your commentary, as opposed to where many books kind of start off the other way around, don't they?
Yes, they do, and that is exactly why I have done it the way I have, because to me, going to the Word of God is the most important thing. Hearing my commentary may help understand, but I want people to discover what God has to say and let Him speak to them before I get in there and try to get them distracted.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear what you're saying. And the story of Esther is a story that we often could use some help in understanding, because it's this long narrative. What was your emphasis in telling this story?
My emphasis in here is to look behind the narrative, which is a compelling story. I mean, it's a great story just to read the narrative and get excited about the characters and all the surprising things that happen. But behind those surprising things is the hand of God, and His providence is behind what happens in that story. So I want people, every time I teach the Bible, I want them to go beyond what the surface is, to look and see, what does this passage say about God? And that's why I'm emphasizing the providence of God in this book of Esther.
A lot of the times when we're coming to the story of Esther, we are drawn into the person of Esther, and we often make comparisons in our life to the story of Esther. But so often when we're focusing on Esther, what was often lost in the light of all of these circumstances is the main character of the book of Esther, who's not Esther, correct?
That's correct. The main character is God.
Yeah, and we often focus on the wrong things when we're going through these studies. So how do you address that issue up front to the readers who are going to be reading these passages and drawn in, as we often are, to the character of Esther, as opposed to seeing beyond that to see through to our Savior?
Well, Yes, and in the Book of Esther, I start with the first lesson being a lesson about the providence of God. So getting them into the scripture with that idea in mind is to let them see that in this study, we're going to be looking at that throughout the lesson. And so to understand what the providence of God is, and then to be looking for it as they go through the book, will be helpful. Mm. And so I've also included a lesson about the history of the nation of Israel, the people of whom Esther was a part, so that they can see how God has this overarching plan of redeeming a people for himself. That's the story of the Bible. But part of that story is his redemption of these people called the Jews, who were given the privilege of giving to the rest of the world the revelation of God that he gave to them. But they didn't do it perfectly, and so Esther's people were exiled into Babylon and then later into Persia. And so it was there that we find this young girl who's the book is named after, and she is there because her ancestors were sent there by God as a judgment against their rebellion against him as their God. And so she's there, and she's never been a part of living in Jerusalem where her people lived. But the story of the Jews is very important in understanding who Esther is and why she's there, and why she is there after many of her people were given the freedom to go back home. She and her cousin Mordecai, who is another main character in the book, are still in Persia. And why are they there? Because God still has work for them to do there, because his people are going to be threatened with genocide. And they are going to be key people in delivering their people from that evil attempt by an evil man to get rid of that whole nation.
Mm. And yeah, this is a story where all of the background, all of the details of the pressures that the people were under are real, another character in a sense of the story, because understanding the history of the Jewish people and their constantly being taken into exile is a reminder of the bigger picture of the Bible, correct? It's the picture that God is coming to redeem, and God has his plans can't be thwarted.
Absolutely, and that's what the providence of God is. God has a purpose and a plan for all that he has created, and he is making it come to pass. He is the behind-the-scenes action of accomplishing what he will do in redeeming these people. And so to see how God already knows ahead of time what's going to happen because he's planned it and he has the power to make it happen is a great source of comfort to God's people today.
Now, the story of Esther is often used as a Bible study for women, for obvious reasons. It's written about Esther. It's written about a woman, and it's often the main theme that's drawn out of that is a woman under plight really rises above her circumstances and shows courage. But is this a way that we really kind of diminish and lose sight of what the story is all about when we only make it about these kind of women Bible studies?
Absolutely, because the Bible, every page of it is for men, women, and children of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
And to say this is just for women is to really miss out on something very important for everybody who is God's child. Same thing happens with the Book of Ruth. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, we could have called those books Boaz and Mordecai.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they would have been just for the men, and the women wouldn't have had interest, I guess. Mm-hmm. No, I think the book and the book that I have written is a book that can be used by anybody who mm-hmm. wants to know about God's providence in this book of Esther.
We certainly find in these situations, these are people that are just like us, and there's a lot of ways that we can make those connections with these central characters and kind of find ourselves in their story, because these are broken individuals. Here's Esther, who is somebody who isn't sure what she's supposed to do. She's the queen, and she's in this great position, but to reveal who she is in the culture in which her identity could get her killed. Those are situations we kind of find are increasing in our culture even today, where there's a fear of being politically correct, of saying the wrong thing and being ousted as a particular Christian or something of that demeanor. So there are a lot of connections. There are a lot of parallels to us even in our culture today, correct?
Absolutely. And not only do we fear being politically correct, not being politically correct now has greater possibilities of what can happen to us than it did 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are losing jobs. They are having their businesses shut down. People have been killed. And we may see more of that in the days ahead because of the culture in which we now live in this country as well as in the world.
And in the midst of all of this, I think the point of your book is the God's mysterious ways is the fact that God's working behind the scenes, even though it looks pretty bleak and it looks like the battle is lost. It's in those moments that God likes to show up, and it's in those moments that God likes to take control at our weakest points and the points where we have full dependency upon Him. That's really the resounding theme in this book.
Yes, it is, and that's the resounding theme of the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
For God's people, when it seems the darkest, the light is about to break through, and we will see the glory of God in ways that are very, very mysterious. We would never have dreamed things would happen the way they did. And you get the sense of that as you read through the book of Esther, because there are these little surprising moments where God intervenes because He has made a covenant with His people, and He is faithful to keep that. And His covenant with Esther's people was not going to be thwarted by the evil attempts to destroy them. Mm. And the same is true for God's people today. We will not lose our eternal reward because of what people are doing now. We may suffer in these days, but it will not be a suffering that cuts us off from God. It will draw us closer to Him.
It seems one of the caveats of studying the book of Esther is you want to have this book, this female role model, and a lot of, like we've talked about, these female Bible studies where women are represented well in the Bible, and those are great things, and I'm so thankful for the book of Esther. I'm thankful for the book of Ruth. But the kind of subtleness of this is that we're looking to Esther to find how can we be courageous, how can we rise above our circumstances, and really what we are seeing is a resounding theme: trust in God, trust in God. Your circumstances may look bleak, but trust in God. It's not this pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, it's a redirecting of your belief and your trust and your faith in an almighty God.
Absolutely, because if we had to depend on pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, we would all be hopeless. Because there would be times we would not be able to do that. And so it is a book of hope. It is a great book of hope, but our hope is not in Esther. Our hope is in God, just as our hope is not going to be in our following Esther's example. It's going to be in trusting God.
What kind of advice do you have for people who are picking up your book and picking up the book of Esther to do a Bible study, to read through it on their own? What kind of guidance do you have in helping them see beyond the circumstances? Because the book of Esther doesn't actually mention God by name, so it can be easy to get lost into those circumstances of the story as being centered on Esther or centered on Mordecai. What counsel do you have for them in that regard?
I would say, as you do in any book, pick it up, read the foreword, read the preface, read the introductions, and see what the author intended in the writing of the book, and that will be a way to help you not go down the pathway that you have described. It will be a way to get you looking, first of all, to find God in the passage, rather than to just look at the details of the story and say, oh yeah, I like that example and I can use that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my advice on any book that you read. Read the introductory pages and don't just jump to the first lesson.
Mm-hmm. And I like that how you've laid out the outline of your book. It follows the outline of the book of Esther itself. really bringing out the main points. So you can kind of see where this book is going to take you as you're going along. As we get a glimpse of what is taking place in the book of Esther, what are some of the themes at the very starting point that you have to remember and look forward to that are going to be the turning points of the book?
Well, you have to look forward to the fact that this is a mysterious story, because things happen when you least expect them to, mm-hmm. and things don't happen when you do expect them. One of the illustrations of that is Mordecai warns about the two people who are going to kill the king, and he tells Esther, who reports it to the king, and those men are hanged, and Mordecai's name is recorded in the book of the king's annals, but nothing ever happens after that. And you think, well, wait a minute, why don't they reward Mordecai if he just saved the king's life? But they don't. 5 years later, all of a sudden, the king can't sleep, and he's reading his book. You know, that's what we normally do when we can't sleep. We pick up the book of our own great works. That's what this king did. And he finds out Mordecai saved his life, and then he decides to do something. Well, if he'd have rewarded him 5 years ago, the story in Esther would have been not nearly as exciting, and we wouldn't have seen the providence of God in it the way we do because of the way it happened. Mm. So those kinds of things happen throughout the book, surprising things and interesting things, but knowing something of the background of the people and knowing something of its place in the whole book of the Bible really helps to helps the student to stay focused on each lesson as we go through it.
Mm. Now, this is one of those studies where the little stories all play into a much bigger story. I mean, there are a lot of narratives throughout the Bible where the little stories become vignettes. They stand alone stories, but the story of Esther is really a closed story, beginning to end, with all of these different elements that are leading up to that point. So it's actually a really remarkable story, and it's a lot of fun to read and to get into and study. What has been the benefit of your Bible study, of your own putting this together? How have you benefited from all of that?
Oh, I have benefited amazingly, because I have a greater understanding of the providence of God, and I'm able to see His hand in my own life in the past where I missed it, and in the future, in the present where I'm, you know, facing difficult things that I would not have written into my life story. They're there because God has written them by His providence. He's using them to cause me to learn things about myself that I can repent of sin and turn to Him. I'm learning how to see His hand in the lives of other people. And I have had people come to me for advice and counsel and prayer. And I'm able to use the truth of the providence of God to help them as well. So my focus on the providence of God has been greatly sharpened, because I have spent over a year studying it carefully and writing this book. And I actually taught this Bible study in two different places in 2014 before I submitted the book for publication. So I've been through it a number of times, and it has really helped me to have a better focus on God's providence for myself and for those that He brings to me that I can help them.
Mm. It certainly
and
is.
In the book, there are little narratives, testimonies from people that were in my classes or that are friends of mine who have walked through some very difficult times and have seen the providence of God in that. And that, there are also some stories that I've included from my own life where I see God's hand preparing me years before I was needing to do something to have the skill to do it. Mm. So those are things that have also helped me, listening to other people's understanding of the providence and how they have these aha moments. Oh, that was God doing that and orchestrating those details. And I needed that so that at this point I could do such and such, or I could believe such and such. So I benefited by my own understanding of it, of God's providence. And also I have benefited from seeing other people grasp and embrace. And I've used the word embrace in these Bible studies because I don't want people just to have some knowledge of these truths. I want them to become so precious that they are like embracing a child that they love, or embracing their spouse that they love, clinging to and holding tightly and pouring out emotion of love to that person. That's what I want them to do after they have studied these books, is to embrace who God is and how he has revealed himself in this particular setting, in this case, the providence of God, and in my previous book, Embracing the Cross of Christ. So I have an embracing series.
Yeah.
And I think every title I write will have that.
Yeah, I think that's really important too, because I've found so much value in trusting in the providence of God in my own life. My predecessor, John DeBrine, here at Songtime for 50 years, would always say, what in your life is only explainable by God? And this story of the book of Esther is really an opportunity, a reminder for us to look over the valleys and the peaks in our life and see how God has brought us through each and every single element of those things. And sometimes preparing us back then for what we're doing now. I could have never seen myself, you know, even 10 years ago doing Christian radio, but God has certainly done things back then that has prepared me for the moment now. Certainly something that comes and rises up in the story of Esther that takes place over this the period of several years in the process of seeing God's providence take place.
Yes, and that's exactly my story. I never dreamed I would be writing books. I mean, and never crossed my mind. But I had friends who said, you need to write these things you've been teaching us. And that's how I got started doing this. But as I look back, I see how over the years God has put into my education and into my workplace and into my personal lives important things that I needed if I'm going to do this right now. So, yes, there's no question the providence of God, knowing about it, makes you look backward to see his hand where you missed it before, and to look forward, anticipating that it will be there, that because God has already gone where we're going to be this afternoon and tomorrow and 20 years from now. He's already been there, and he is orchestrating the lives of his people and the lives of others to accomplish his purposes in creation, in redemption, and in the coming kingdom in which the Lord Jesus Christ will rule. So it's all together, a big story, and we are knowing his providence helps us to understand the different parts of that story and where we particularly fit into it.
I love the lyrics from Stephen Curtis Chapman where he says, I may not see in front of me, but I can see for miles when I look over my shoulder. But Lord, it's clear you've brought me here. You've been faithful every step of the way. And the story of Esther certainly gives us that perspective, an opportunity to look back, to see God's constance even in our presence, and to look forward with a hope that all things will be made right. We have been talking with Jane Roach about her book, God's Mysterious Ways, Embracing God's Providence in the Book of Esther. Jane, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.